Welcome to the Father State. I am Destiny Peterson. Don't forget to hit that like button and notification, all right, so that you can receive all of our new videos. I have with me a very, very mamma mia, hola, si senor, interesting person, UFC Hall of Fame, Tito Ortiz. Tito, thanks for coming, man.
Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
It's an honor to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Today, what's important to you?
My children.
Your children?
The future of my children is very important to me.
And how many do you have?
I have 3 boys.
Really?
Yeah.
So you have all boys?
All boys.
Alpha male.
Alpha male, exactly.
Real men make boys first, huh?
Yeah, yep. And, you know, at the same time, the men do make women. We need them to continue our race. So
I know. We want them to mate the women, but later on.
Yeah, right?
After they get the boys.
Yeah. Three times the charm for me. So
that's amazing. You have 3 boys.
Yeah.
And how old are they?
17 and 10-year-olds.
Wow.
Yes.
Are they identical?
Fraternal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so are you married?
I am not married. I have a girlfriend of 7 years now.
Oh, okay.
But that time may be coming soon, so.
Oh, you might get married one day?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so.
Have you ever been married?
I've been married once with my oldest son, Jacob, his mother, Kristen. And I was young. You know, I was about, actually, we started dating right out of high school, after high school was over. And we got married about the age of 22. And then it lasted for about 4 years. And we just fell out of love. And instead of fighting and trying to make it work, we just went our separate ways. And, you know, we became good friends. And that was life.
And so at one point, you guys felt like you loved one another.
Oh, 100%. You know, you have a best friend and completely in love. And, you know, after a few years, it just kind of wore off. And it just didn't work out. And instead of fighting in front of my child all the time, I thought it'd just be better that we just separate ways and just be friends. And we did.
And so there came a point when you could feel no love for this person.
Well, no love. Just I think there's a difference between being in love and loving a person. I mean, you're always going to love a person, but to be in love passionately, it's hard. But, you know, I've been able to find it again, which is lucky.
Right on. Women tend to hide their true self. You don't really know who they are, why you're dating them. You only find out once you marry them. What did you find out about your wife that you didn't realize until after you married her?
I think it was me. I grew up really fast as a kid, and then I really didn't have much. But once I got married, things did change. And people say when you get married, things do change.
Yeah,
and
they do.
They did change. It changed a lot. And at the time, I was became the UFC world champ. And a lot of things was thrown at me at the time.
Yeah.
And I made a few mistakes, and I had to admit those mistakes, and it just didn't work out.
Say it was you, are you saying that you didn't show your true self to your girl, to your then girlfriend before you married her? She didn't know who she was really
married? Oh, no, she knew who I was, 100%, but I think I just, with the startism and everything else around me at the time of becoming a world champion and having everything thrown at me, I was taken back by it because I've never had that situation happen to me ever before. And, you know, you kind of stray away, and that happened to me. And instead of lying to her and being a dishonest person, I had to be honest. And honest,
I got you.
Things went separate ways, like I say, and I had to be a man and be honest about it.
And so are you close to your sons now?
Yes. My oldest. Well, my twin boys, they're with me 100% of the time.
Oh, good.
I was married once, and I had my son Jacob, which I'm very close with.
How old is he?
He's 17 years old.
Oh, he is?
Yes, he's 17.
Amazing.
He'll be 18 June 1st.
Wow.
He's a man.
So you're close to him?
Very close to him, yes.
Is he into boxing or
fighting? Actually, he's a wrestler. He wrestles in high school.
Really?
He's been wrestling since he's been 6 years old, so he loves wrestling. But he's a very smart, intelligent student in school, so he's almost a straight-A student, and he works really, really hard. And, you know, the classes he does take are very advanced, so I'm proud of the work he does.
So you are a really, really smart guy. You're famous, you're known, you make a lot of money. On a scale of 1 to 10 between when you started out boxing and fighting and now, how would you rate your life between the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best? Where are you?
Now or before? I mean,
now.
Now, I'd
today.
Say at least a 9.5.
A 9.5.
I'm very, very, very happy. Life is wonderful. My girlfriend of almost 7 years now, Amber Nicole Miller. I never felt the love that I feel with her. It's just, it's amazing to have someone to support what I love and vice versa. I support what she loves. And just to have a best friend, and not only just a best friend, a person who I'm in love with. And it's just one of those things that makes me feel comfortable that my twin boys, Jesse and Journey, they have a mother figure around them 100% of the time, you know, because they came from my ex-girlfriend, Jenna Jameson, and she hasn't been around in the last 7 years. And for my boys to have a mother figure around, she kind of saved our family. And now we have a solid family, an Ortiz family. And
I want to ask you about Jenna, but let me ask, so are you happy based on the love that you're getting from this woman, or are you happy because you have inwardly grown from all the stuff you've gone through to this point? Which one is making you happy?
I think the love that I get from her makes me happy. The trust.
So if she takes it away, would you lose your happiness?
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy if I didn't have her with me.
Does she know that?
She knows it now.
Don't tell her. You want us to edit that out?
No. She's actually here right now with me. So.
Oh, she is? Oh, yes. That's her?
Yes.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, she's here with us.
I thought it was your PR person or something.
No. I travel in a small group.
So she knows that your happiness comes from her.
100%.
Why would you let her know that?
Because I think vulnerability makes a relationship stronger. Because if you try to put up your guard and your defense all the time, then the person never get a chance to know who you truly are. But if you show your vulnerability, I think it makes it exceptional for a woman to understand where you're coming from and the things you're coming from at the times you say them.
But what will happen if you decide, you know what, I'm not going to tiptoe anymore, I'm just going to be me. And when you become you and don't need...
that's the situation. I am
me. She decides, well, you know what? I'm not going to love you anymore. Would that take your happiness? I mean...
Oh, 100% it'd take my happiness away if she said she didn't love me anymore. And
so is this good for your happiness to come from another human being or money or things or anything?
Money and fame is just extra.
Right.
That can be taken away with the blink of an eye.
But a woman can take it away too, her love, if she knows that you're relying on it.
If a person is vindictive, yes. And I've been through that situation before.
Right.
And this is a totally separate and different situation. When someone is unselfish and is willing to dedicate their life to you and want to make it a partnership and not just, I'm with this guy because he has money or I'm with this guy because he's famous. I'm a very gentle man. I'm a very honest man. I make mistakes and I try to not make a mistake twice. It's hard. It's difficult. You know, I've been through a lot in my childhood. I've been through a lot through my life. I've been through the highest peaks of Mount Everest to the death valleys of Death Valley. Yeah. But I've been able to bounce back. And over this last 6.5 years that I have been with Amber, I've really been able to love again. I've been able to trust a person again. I've been able to not just respect myself, but respect my partner.
Oh, I see. And why haven't you married her if you love her and she loves you?
I think a fear from my first marriage that everything's going to change. And, commitment is hard, but now it's just, I'm 45 years old. Commitment could be a lot easier now.
Right.
You know, I mean, going around chasing for other girls is not in my idea of doing it. I don't want to do that. Coming home to knowing that I have, this is my home, this is my house, and... I have my partner with me as my best friend and my love partner. It's amazing. It's just a satisfaction that makes me feel warm in my heart.
Do you fear that Amber, right, her name?
Yes.
Do you fear that one day she would stop loving you?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Not at all.
Oh, I see. And so you haven't married her because of the fear it might change?
Yeah.
So you think a marriage would make a change? A possibility can cause a change.
Maybe. I guess as we learn in learning life a little bit more, I guess I could veer a different idea.
Do you, you love her, right?
100%.
And what is love?
Love is a passion that I know I don't have to think twice about trusting a person. Love is someone that I could be... devoted to and give my life to, give every time and not be selfish, to give everything that I want and that she wants to make it happiness, to make a happy family.
That's amazing.
To have that white picket fence house with a happy coming home from work and dinner's cooked and a person who takes time to say, how was your day? Are you okay? Do you need anything? And I've always needed that as a child growing up. I've always needed that as an adult growing up. And, you know, years I've gone through, I finally got that.
You're getting something that was missing while you were growing up.
100%.
Oh, I understand.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have peace? I know you have love, and I know you're happy and you feel good, but do you have peace?
I have peace, like I say, like I haven't had in a long, 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 long time. Long time. It's just amazing when you have peace and sanctuary at home. It just makes your heart feel that much better. It makes your mind being able to adapt to something that you weren't used to as a child or as a young adult to adapt to now, that it strengthens me. It makes me a stronger person. It makes me a stronger man. And this goes in competition in general. You know, when I compete and I train, I'm able to go through camps and do an 18 to 20 week training camp and not have any problems, because I don't have to worry about what's happening at home. I don't have to worry about what's happening in my environment because of my partner. My partner's there as my best friend. We respect each other no matter what. I think it's very important.
Amazing. That's amazing, man.
I've been through a lot, like I said. I've made mistakes. I'm no saint at all. I made a few mistakes, and I make sure I don't make those mistakes again.
Have women cheated on you before?
Yes.
They have cheated on you?
Yes, and I have too.
You've cheated on women?
Yes.
So when you cheated, when they cheated on you, were you surprised that they cheated?
Yeah.
Did that hurt you?
Yeah, yeah. I could get over it, but it did. It hurt.
And how did you find out that they cheated on you?
From social media.
Oh, they were putting it on social media?
Well, then I look through a phone and you find out this and that and this and that. And
really?
Yeah.
And how would they find out that you cheated?
Same thing, on my phone or social media.
And why do people put what they do, stuff like that, on a phone? Why not just keep it private and stop doing it?
Well, I think people do a lot for attention. They want attention, saying, ha ha. I mean, there's been other situations that I've been accused of stuff that I never did. And once again, it was people lying just to get attention.
Are you an emotional person?
I'm the most emotional person in the world, I believe.
You're very sensitive?
Very sensitive.
And
That's what makes me.
You don't look, you look like a...
Well, let me tell you, those don't ever judge a book by its cover. That's for sure.
You like being sensitive?
I like to be sensitive just because it keeps me grounded. It keeps me honest. It keeps me to realize that I'm just a normal human being on this earth that's trying to give back to society in a positive manner and always doing the right things.
So you think it's normal for a man to be sensitive?
It should be.
Why?
Because the ones that aren't sensitive or have egotistic maniacs are just...
Who told you that?
I just by what I perceive.
And so could you be wrong? Could you, because I know you had a tough upbringing, your father, mother's on drugs and all that kind of stuff. Could you be basing that on what you went through, when in reality a man should be logical and not sensitive?
Well, logical is an automatic. That's a given. That's the first thing you should be is logical.
Right.
But being sensitive is a totally different attitude completely.
I know, but it's an insecure attitude. It's like a woman's attitude, but not a man attitude.
Well, insecurity is a totally different than being emotional. You know, if you're emotional about something, that means you love it. That means you'll do anything to make that happen. That means you're willing to drop your guard instead of having your defense up and rejecting things and having an open mind. And having an open mind is very important in this world today. If you don't have an open mind and you say, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be and this is the way it is, that means you have no feeling for anybody else's feelings.
And how do you define, you said open mind?
Yes.
Define open mind.
Be willing to accept someone's advice. Being willing to have an open mind to other people's feelings and weigh out the pros and cons. A lot of people have their set ways, and that's the only way they'll think, and that's the only way they'll do, and I think that's incorrect. I think people make a lot of mistakes by doing like that, I mean, thinking like that.
So do you think that drag queen story time at a library should be accepted, open-mindedly accepted, or could you see that as being wrong?
I don't see it as being wrong. That's their prerogative. That's what they want to do in their life.
Should they be allowed to flaunt it as a norm?
maybe not to the youth. You know, this was it LGBTQ or whatever it's called?
LGBTQ, STD.
One, whatever, yeah. Things like that are, I don't want to say okay, but they're accepted nowadays. But
should they be accepted as a norm?
To a certain extent, I would say yes, just to kind of, you know, you can't really weed through them. I think really for the youth, it should not be accepted for the youth.
Yeah.
A child who is under the age of 18 should not be exposed to anything like that because they are so confused. They're not, I mean, they're not even old enough to vote. They're not even old enough to make right decisions when it comes to schooling, doing homework. I mean, a parent got to be on there, down their neck saying, you got to do the homework right, you got to do this again. But to let them decide their own manner or their own gender is confusing for a child.
Yeah.
And as a child, when I grew up, I mean, Boy George was huge. And I just thought the guy dressed up in makeup and that's the way he was. I didn't know anything about gays until I got into, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old. And when now they're pressing on the children at 10 years old. I mean, my twin boys will be 11 and they'll be in sixth grade next year and they're talking about that. Well, me and Amber, we've sat down, we're saying if that's happened, we'll end up homeschooling them.
That's right.
I refuse to let my child be subjected to that.
So we should not be open-minded about that kind of stuff.
At a young age, no.
Yeah.
That is wrong.
So when you first discovered that homosexuality existed, were you like, what the?
I did say what the. I was like, it didn't make sense to me. Yeah. But it's a norm now.
It's abnormal, treated as a norm, right?
Yes.
People are trying to treat it as a norm.
Yes.
Do you support abortion and all that kind of stuff too?
There's different situations, I think, on that. If it's by a rape or a woman wasn't really for it. Once again, rape. I think abortion should be used.
But how about if she just put the baby up for adoption rather than committing another crime, you know, because she's going to be angry about being raped.
Right.
So being angry is a problem. And then if she killed the baby, that's going to bring more guilt because she has guilt from the rape. Wouldn't it be best to just have it and put it up for adoption?
But what if that person that raped her had a chemical imbalance in his brain, and then all of a sudden she's having a kid who becomes a rapist himself or a murderer or so forth? There's so many variables that you got to think about of that. I mean, I'm not for abortion,
right,
but I think there is a fine line of a woman should have a choice of it, yes.
Amazing.
But not if her and her husband all of a sudden have made a mistake and she's pregnant. Yes, she have it.
I got so much to ask you, man. Yeah. It's not even funny.
Yeah, no, I'm an open book, man. I'm as transparent as possible.
I watched some of your videos and I love the way you just... We know who you are, you know.
Yes, sir.
Right. Is it right to live with a woman before marriage or to marry and be together? Which is right?
I think living with a woman before getting married is right.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because
are
what
you
if...
a Christian?
I am not a Christian. No, I'm not.
Oh, you're atheist?
Yes.
You're an atheist?
Yes.
You don't believe there is a God?
I to a certain extent, but there. Once again, you got to prove it. You got to show me the proof.
So God needs to prove to you that he exists?
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you won't.
I believe there's a higher power, possibly.
Is that power God?
I think that power is karma. I think that power is being an honest man. I think that power is being responsible for your own actions.
But you don't believe you were created by a source that's called God?
No, because there's no facts or those scientific facts that showing that I was.
Are there facts that showing that you were not created by God?
That they say that we were created by monkeys.
And you believe that?
To a certain extent, yeah. Because I look in the mirror and I sure damn look like a gorilla.
Have you ever seen a light-skinned gorilla?
You're looking right at one. People think I'm African-American and I have 1% in me.
You're not half black?
Nope.
What are you?
Mexican, Native American, I'm French, I'm Irish, I'm Portuguese, African-American.
But you got 1% black, right?
1% black.
When they say that's all you need.
Yep.
1% of blood, that's it, buddy.
Yeah, no.
You locked in whether you want to be or not.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's why, at the age of 45, I look as young as I do. I take care of myself.
Yeah, you look well.
I mean, youth has been something that I'm very fortunate of.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day.
So you think that it's right to live with a woman without being married?
Yes.
For what reason?
You want to understand and know who that person is. And you know, the best way to find that person who they are is live with them 24/7. Right. You get to see their attitude and see if they're clean, they take care of themselves, if they're going to take care of you.
If you're married, you do all those things.
Well, if you're, people get married after 6 months, and all of a sudden they get married, and they're like, "What did I do? What did I get myself into?" So and that's why they see a divorce percentage as much as it is now because of that.
So if you wake up one morning and decide, you know what, Amber is not the one.
Would
it be easy for you? You're like, no, this is...
Well, it's been almost 7 years, and I haven't
said... But would you be able to walk away if you wake up one morning and realize, you know what? I'm sick of this woman. It ain't the one. I've tried it. We're not married. I'm out of here. Would you be able to just walk away?
No, I couldn't do that.
But that's the same way in a marriage, though. You can't walk away if you... you're not in it until death do you part, through the rough, through the ups and the downs.
Yeah, but that is so easy that people just take it as a piece of paper. I mean, to me, is I think the best as a partnership is we both don't have any people to answer to. We don't have no piece of paper that they make an answer to. We know that we love each other, and it makes it solid. It makes it strong.
Does she want to marry?
Yes.
She does want you to marry her.
In the beginning, she didn't, of course.
Women want to be married.
Yeah, of course women want to be married. Everyone wants that happy marriage. You know, I think a lot of it, Amber Ortiz does sound good.
Yeah.
But, I mean... I say timing's everything.
And, but you like, no, not now.
She's here right now, so it's like, she's probably just sitting there going, huh. But
what?
And I'm warming up to it.
Yeah.
I could say that.
Amazing.
I mean, I got a best friend. I got a partner, and I don't want to lose that.
It doesn't mean you're going to lose it after marriage if you really love her the right way.
I just know so many people that have gotten married.
You haven't seen good examples of that.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's my problem.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I'm going to help you overcome that.
Yeah, I hope so. You know what? It's growing on me. Don't get me wrong. It is growing on me. Like I said, I love the woman like no ever. I'm not just saying that because she's here. I love her like... I've never loved a woman before. I'm passionate and in love with her, and it's been 7 years. I mean...
But after today, don't say that anymore. Don't tell her.
Yeah, no, I do tell her. I tell her all the time. There's times all the time that
women don't like to know that because they'll see it as a weakness, and they'll control you with it.
See, now, there's a lot of women that are like that. You are correct. Yeah. But there's a lot of women who aren't like that who need to hear that to know that they're in it to win it. Yes.
Oh, amazing.
There's
so
separation.
You dated Jenny, what's her name, Johnson?
Jenna Jameson.
Jenna Jameson, right?
Correct.
And she was a porn star?
She was, and she retired a year and a half before.
So did you know that she was a porn star before you dated her?
Yes, I did.
And so how did you meet her?
Through Twitter when it first started.
And so you looked at porn?
No, she actually reached out to me. She reached out to me, and I just got divorced at the time. And it was a direct message, and I was with my roommate, and I was like, dude, Jenna Jameson just texted me. And we went on a date, and after that, I just was intrigued by the person who she was. She was a very smart, intelligent woman at the time, beautiful.
Was it the sex that made you intrigued, or the intelligence?
The intelligence, for sure.
Not the sex?
No.
And you fell in love with her?
Yes.
What was it like being in love with, because a porn star mean they had sex with everybody else and their daddy, right?
Well, there's a difference with her. There was that time in the beginning of her career, and then she was married twice. And her first one, she shot nothing but with him. Then her second marriage, she shot nothing but with him. And I come to learn that later on. But I look beyond
people. You said she shot what?
Shot the movies with her husband.
Oh, yeah.
For right. You know, the last 3 years or 4 years of her career. But I don't look on people's past as a mistake, you know. It's not for me to judge. You know?
So did you feel embarrassed when you went around your family and other people knowing you were a porn star, or did you feel proud?
I don't think I felt embarrassed. There was no time embarrassed because I it's not my view to judge anybody.
Because I've never spoke with a guy who really dated a woman like that, had children with her. For love with her and all that. What is that mentality? Do you feel like, because I used to date this woman, I worked for a hospital, and I met this black girl, she was fine.
Right.
It was the first time I had really had a fine woman, right?
Right.
And so I would intentionally invite her up to the hospital where I worked and walk all through the hospital, showing off with
sure,
her, right?
Right?
Was it that kind of feeling?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
For sure. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I mean, I was completely in love, and she was a beautiful woman. She was a smart woman also. And I just come to realize that when we got separated, my therapist was like, Tito, you cannot save your mom. And at the time when we were separating, she had a drug problem. And my mother had the same type of drug problem.
Yeah.
And I thought I could fix her. I come to realize you can't fix a person. A person needs to fix themselves.
Yeah.
And
she was taking the place of your mother.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, 100%. But my therapist told me, he goes, Tito, stop trying to save this woman. Let's find someone to save you. And luckily, Amber came and saved me.
Amazing. Did you ever, so like now you have control over the kids?
100%, yes.
How did that happen?
I went through court. A lot of things that I found out she was doing towards the kids. We had nannies full time, 24/7. I was paying over $20,000 a month in nannies, and it blew my mind. And the first time I noticed it, when my son was, three and a half, and he fell and kind of banged his knee up, and he went to go reach for the nanny and not for her, I said, what was going on? And then I started finding out that things were going through my home, people were in my house that shouldn't have been there.
Amazing.
Drugs were around my house a lot, around my kids. I went on a vacation with my oldest son, Jacob. He came with us. And one of the youngest, Jesse, picked up a OxyContin from the ground, had it in his hand. My oldest son, Jacob, pulled it away from his hand. And she tried to blame it on me, saying that was my pills. And I've never touched OxyContins in my life. And she was addicted to them at the time. And a child could have died if he would have put that in his mouth.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you got him, man.
And the California Justice Department gave me my children 100% because it was proven in court. The things that she did to my children, I can't let you know what it is, but it was horrible. The woman should be in prison right now.
So she doesn't see them at all then?
Zero. She hasn't been around them for almost 7 years.
Has she tried to see them?
In the beginning, the first couple of years, she's tried to, but mentally and psychologically, she was not fit as a parent. Yeah. She wasn't fit as a person in general. And I think the judge seen that, and the ruling that proceeded for me to be full custody of my children. And if she wanted to have a chance to see the children, she had to go through, therapy.
Nice.
I mean, I had to build up to make that happen. Right. She never took one step towards that.
Oh, okay.
But she went on social media.
Good, it wouldn't bother, that's fine.
I mean, she went and bashed me as much as possible in social media, just saying how horrible a father I am and this and that, to turn around and saying, oh, I'm a great father. Can we just please make ends meet?
Yeah.
And I said, if you go ahead and you fix yourself, you're welcome to. But she hasn't had one step towards that. And that's where I stand.
Do they ever ask about her? Do they ever talk about her?
Probably about 4 years ago, a couple situations. Old mom said that she would be back, but not anymore. I think they kind of get it. But they don't. Another great thing is they don't miss that mother figure.
Right, because they have the father.
Well, they have me, and they have
their mom
now. It's not a blood-related mother, but Amber treats them like her own.
Yeah.
And not being selfish, doing everything possible. Even when it comes to schooling, helping with their schooling, cooking dinners, lunch, breakfast, getting up every morning and making sure they're at school. The thing that a mother is there to do, I do the father job and she does the mother job, and we're a great partner and a great couple by doing this.
And I understand the word partner.
Yes.
But I don't like that word.
Because
partner means like those two gay people, they be doing the partner thing. I like the boyfriend or girlfriend, husband or wife kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I understand what you mean by partner. I want to ask you, I read that your father and mother were drug addicts while you were growing up, right?
Yeah, from the age of 6 to 13. My mother and father were heroin addicts. My father started with heroin after getting his appendix out in the hospital. They gave him morphine. And then when he got out, he still had pain. And it just went spiraled downhill after that. It went from him using to my mother trying to using. And that is the most addictive drug in the world.
Yeah.
And it ruined our family.
Are you an only child?
No, I have three older brothers.
How are they doing now?
They're doing great. So, I mean, it was a blessing in disguise at the time. When I was 6, my older brother is 5 years older than me. The next one is 8 years older than me. The next one is 10 years older than me. But they were with a guardian at the time that we left.
Both by the same parents, right?
No, my three older brothers were with a different father.
Oh, okay.
And then my father I'm the only child.
Okay.
But when I was with their drug addiction, I was with them from motel to motel, people's houses, living on the couches, the little small trailer. I mean, I went through a lot at a very young age. And they had a guardian at the time that still lived in Huntington Beach and took care of them while my parents went through a drug addiction.
So while your parents are going through this stuff with the drugs, were you the only child with them?
I was the only child with them, correct.
Your brothers were put somewhere else?
Yes, they're at a supervision. They had a guardian at
the time. Why didn't you go there too?
Because I was my father's kid. I think they didn't want to let me go. They want to make sure that I was with them. And it was a blessing in disguise because I think I saved my mom's life. And my mom saved my life too.
How did you save her life?
Because she wanted something better for her son. At the age of when I was 13, I was in a gang at the time in Santa Ana, F Troop.
So you grew up in Huntington Beach?
I grew up in Huntington Beach to the age of six. And then from 6 to 13, I lived in Santa Ana, California,
okay,
which is a little east of Huntington Beach. And my mother, at the time when I was 13, I was in a rival gang shot one of my friends and almost shot me. I jumped over the fence and you could hear the bullets hitting the concrete. I ended up leaving. My friend got shot and killed right in front of my face by 12 gauge. And I told my mom, she didn't believe me, went back over and check it out. And my friend's getting carried away in a body bag.
Amazing. And what was that like when you seeing that?
It was scary. It was hard. It was, I didn't understand it. I said, why does this kid get his life taken? And it was due to ignorance of another gang, of a rivalry. That it was a payback, I guess. And I understand that this wasn't for me. This wasn't something I wanted to do. And my mother made a huge decision and told my father, either you get sober or I'm taking your son. And at the age of 13, she did that. She told me, you know, we're leaving. She packed up, she got remarried, we moved back to Huntington Beach. And she saved my life. And she saved her own life at the same time from me. You know, she got sober and she had to go through a lot of detox, but she ended up getting sober. She hasn't used since.
Is she still living?
She's still living.
Your father too?
Yeah, he's 80, gonna be 81 this year.
So you were not a gang member yourself?
Yes.
You were a gang.
I got jumped in and I got jumped out.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it was.
Meaning that you were forced in.
Well, no, when I first got in, the mean when you jump in is you gotta walk down a line of six guys on each side.
Yeah.
You gotta take punches and kicks as you walk through the 12 of them. And then
did you ever forgive your mother and father for letting you down while growing up? Did you forgive them?
I finally forgive my father just this it was 2 years ago. I forgave my mother when I was 25.
Did you tell her that?
Yes, and she knows that. And
did you tell her that you went to her?
Yes.
And what did you say?
I forgive you. I know you only did as best you possibly could do, but you changed my life by leaving dad and giving me a different life. I mean, she was with him for over 15 years and she got up and just left and was willing to sacrifice everything to give me a better future.
And did you go and forgive your father?
It took me a long time.
But you went to him?
I went to him.
And what did you say to him?
You know what, Dad? I know how hard it is to be a parent. I know how hard it is to be a father. I understand what you went through. I've always had questions.
And what did he say?
He didn't say anything. He couldn't fess up to the beginning. But when I said, you know what, I forgive you because I know how hard it is, and I love you, Dad. And he goes, son, I apologize. I'm sorry. And
amazing.
And the first time this happened was probably about 6 years prior, actually 8 years prior, and I did that. And I went to his house because I'd have nightmares all the time of asking why. And I finally said enough's enough, and I went to go see him, and I cried to him and asking him why, and he couldn't say anything. He had the blank look on his face, and he couldn't really own up to it. This last time, he finally said, you know, I'm proud of you, I love you, and I apologize, and, you know,
And did that change you?
It changed me 100%.
In what way?
In a positive manner. It made me understand fatherhood. It made me understand how just human beings can respond to things in a positive manner or a negative manner. And the positive manner that I got out of it was, you know, my dad's proud of me and he loves me. And I haven't heard that in almost 30 years. And it was difficult. It was hard just to even walk up to his door in the beginning. You know, yeah. I sat in front of his house for a good 20 minutes just trying to get enough courage to walk up. And I said, you know what, I'm going to let this eat at me and hate forever, or I could accept and, you know, accept my future with him.
I don't know if you know it or not, but I have a nonprofit organization that's 30 years old this year, past February. And what we're doing is rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. And what we're showing all men is that they got to go and forgive their parents. Yeah. In most cases, they have to forgive the mothers because the mothers turn the kids away from the father.
Right.
She played victim. But and the father doesn't know how to handle that because you become like what you hate.
Right.
And so a lot of these guys became like their mothers. And so they become attracted to women who are just like mama, right?
Right.
And when they get with these women, they end up becoming boys, and the woman become mama, so the cycle is repeated.
Right.
So we show them how, we encourage them to go and forgive their mothers so that God can forgive them and renew their mind,
right,
and love their fathers. With love means don't hate, right?
No.
Love their fathers. When they do, their whole life changes.
Yeah.
They finally become men. And women become women, too, because they're not themselves. They resent their mothers.
Right.
So forgiveness is the way to go.
Oh, it is. It's huge. It, like I said, it changed my life completely.
Yeah.
And I had to go through it was when I was with Jenna. I was going through the same situation.
Yeah.
There was drugs in the home. There was drugs she was using a lot.
It repeats itself.
And I saw life repeating itself.
Yeah.
And either I go down the same thing, and you understand, I mean, I own a mansion in Huntington Harbor. I have, you know, beautiful cars. I have
you
money in the bank.
You own a mansion, you say?
Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
On the water. I, you know, a kid.
I got to come and party at your mansion.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't have parties anymore. I'm a responsible adult now.
Right,
I got to make sure that the future of my children are number one.
So,
but like I say, I had a same idea was I had to make the same decision my mom made. And to sacrifice everything. Like I say, I loved Jenna like no other. I would have gave anything for her to stop doing what she was doing, but she didn't do it. And I told my mom, thank you. And she's like, why? I go, I really learned from what you did. If you didn't do what you did for me when I was 13 years old, I would never have been able to do what I did just recently for my children's future. And my kids now, they're just, their growth and their flourishing like children should.
Right on.
No, not just in education, but just in life in general. And I've got to thank Amber Nicole Miller for that.
In your relationship now, do you feel like the boy and the girl and your girlfriend are like your mama? Or are you the head of her? Are you leading her?
I think we lead each other. You know,
do you feel like the boy sometimes?
Not like the boys. Yeah, to a certain extent. You know,
and
but
she's the mama?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Mama?
Yeah.
No, okay.
No, it's I'm daddy too, so it's the same thing. I mean, like I say, once again, this is a partnership. This is a partnership. You may not like the word partnership, but it is. It's a partnership where we got to understand each other.
You know, I could go on and on with you. I want to know if that's why you became a fighter, because of growing up in a rough life like that. What thrust you into becoming the worldwide, well-known MMA fighter?
We all have a dream. I had a dream. I had a dream of being a Hulk Hogan. I had a dream of being a Muhammad Ali. I had that dream as a young kid. I mean, at the age of 3, 4, 5 years old, watching Hulk Hogan as a kid and going, I want to be like that guy. And I remember always telling my mom that. And my mom would sit there with the paper towel little hole and be like, Tito Ortiz. And I'd be coming running in the room. And I mean, I was a young kid at the time, but that was the dream.
So was the hard time in life made that? Did that make that become your dream? You're like looking at these guys on TV, you're having a rough life as a kid, and you decide, you know what? That's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was government cheese, powdered milk.
I used to love that government cheese, that yellow cheese.
The yellow cheese in the box, and you had to cut the green off, so that way you need the penicillin.
Yeah.
I think living like that and not knowing what home I'm going to be in next week, not having the clothes on my back, maybe, you know, 2 outfits, 3 outfits for the year until I grew out of them. And when high water pants, literally I had high water pants as I grew, I didn't want that for my children. I didn't want that for myself. To be broke is my worst fear.
Yeah.
To lose everything is my worst fear.
It still is?
Still is to this day. I think that's why I work so hard. I dedicate my life, I dedicate myself to my career and to my family. And, you know, at the end of the day, if I lost my family, I think I would lose myself. My family is
so
my number one.
So you worry about losing all your stuff?
Yes, I lose.
What is that like? It's like a, what is that like to worry about losing all that you've earned?
A nightmare.
Really?
A nightmare. I have a nightmare, you know, at least a couple times a year. I do.
About losing it?
About losing it.
So
that or about going back to one of my old homes and there's nothing in the home. There's no furniture. There's cobwebs everywhere. It's all like a just a ran-down old home that used to be mine, and I lost everything. I have that dream a lot, and that's a dream that keeps me, I think, down to earth. It keeps me humble. It makes me understand that everything can be taken away in a blink of an eye. It makes me work harder. It makes me be honest. A hard-working, honest American that has dedicated himself to a career in mixed martial arts when it was nothing.
Yeah.
To be the first light heavyweight world champion in the UFC, defending that world title 5 consecutive times, to have a career for over 23 years now. May 30th will be 23 years for me.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Did you ever imagine that it would get this big? When you were thinking about, I'm going to be like those guys, did you ever imagine that it would turn out the way it is now?
I imagine everything the way it has been. But it's just...
You did what now?
I imagine it all coming. I imagined myself having a world championship around my waist. I imagine myself being on a marquee in Las Vegas, being the main event. I imagine these things because those are the dreams that I had. If I didn't have the dreams like that, how can I live the American dream without having it? And I always chased it, and I chased it, and I did everything I possibly could, respectively, honestly, to make those things happen. I never stepped anybody to get ahead through my whole life. I look in the mirror every night, and I ask myself, have I helped somebody today? Have I gone out of my way, and have I done it honestly?
Right.
And let me tell you, I do it every single night.
Are you a trash talker? I hear that you're a trash talker.
I'm a great trash talker. When it comes to sell a fight, there's rules behind this. There's three rules. You don't talk about a person's family, you don't talk about a person's country, and you do not lie. And if you keep those things pertaining in a good way and don't do those things, trash talking could be great. But you got to back it up.
Yeah. So like when you're in their faces and you're trash talking, are you intimidating them?
I'm intimidating them, but once I'm trying to do psychology against them, you know, it's mind warfare, and I'm looking for kinks in their armor.
Yeah.
And if I find the kinks, I will attack those little kinks. If their strengths are there, I'll attack their strengths too. I want to make them so mad at me is where they forget their whole game plan when it comes to competition time. All they want to do is kill me, and they're throwing punches with all the aggression possible, and I can see those punches a mile away.
And so you're able to read them?
You can read them like a book. Yes.
Were you trained to do that, or is that natural?
I think a little bit of instinct that came into it, but a little bit in college, you know, when I took psychology 101, you know, yeah. You kind of learn the mannerism of a person, what's normalcy for them, how to irritate or aggravate a person. And I think it was just something that I learned. And you know,
did you ever run up on a guy where you tried to intimidate, but you're in the ring, everybody looking, you're trying to intimidate, but you can't, and you became afraid?
A couple times, yeah, a couple times.
So what is that like? How do you deal with that?
I think you deal with it by just fight or flight, they say. You know, it's one of those things, you know, you feel like not giving up, but you don't have anywhere out, so you just kind of give the position up. You literally give the position up. And I've had that happen a few times, but I wasn't prepared for the match. I did everything possible. Injuries have been a big part of my career.
Right.
You know, from 2003 to 2016, I've gone through surgery after surgery. I've had ACL replace my left knee, ACL replace my right knee, 50% of my meniscus taken on my right knee. I've had L4-5, S1 fused on my lower back. I've had T3, T2, T2, T1, T1, C7 disc replacement.
Dang.
I've had C7, C6 fused. I've had C6, C5 disc replacement, and C5, C4 fused, and a reattached retina in my left eye.
So you're like a robot right now, right?
I am the million-dollar man in person.
Well, yeah, you're tougher, whatever.
I'm tougher, and I think it just makes me more of a mentally strong person because I've gone through so much, but I'm able to bounce back, and I'm thankful for technology these days. I'm very thankful for my doctor who did the surgeries, who's a neurosurgeon that has done an amazing job with the technology days, like I say.
Yeah.
But I've taken care of my body. You know, I eat clean. I don't use drugs.
Have you ever used drugs?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've used everything but heroin.
Were you addicted to the drugs you use?
Yes.
Yeah.
For a certain time, and then kind of one of those look in the mirror moments where you're like, what the fuck are you doing yourself? And this is a life-changing situation that I had when I was 18 to 19 years old, and methamphetamine was the drug.
Wow.
I'm 6'3", I'm same height, but I was 185 pounds. I'm 235 right now.
That's amazing.
And I had pimples all over my face, big black circles under my eyes, and I did not recognize myself at all. I was at a club, and an old high school wrestling coach came up to me, and he's like, "Tito, man, what are you doing to yourself? You don't look so good." Like, "What do you mean I don't look so good?" And he's all, "You doing all right?" "But yeah, I'm just making ends meet. I work at a moving service. You know, I do 16-hour days, and I'm just trying to make ends meet. This life of being an adult's not easy."
Yeah.
He's already thought of coming back to school. I said, "Yeah, but I just don't have no parents to take care of me. I'm on my own." They go, "You're Mexican, right?" I go, "Yes." He goes, "We can possibly get you financial aid. They'll pay for your schooling. They'll pay for your books. You just got to show up." And I go, "Well, I'm working at a moving service." They're like, "Well, if you come in on Monday, let's think about getting you financial aid to get you back to school." And I went to Golden West Junior College at the time. I called my work, Allied Moving Service, and I told them I couldn't come in. They're like, "What do you mean you can't come in?" I go, "I want to see about this college thing." And they're like, "Well, if you don't come in, you're fired." I go, "Well, I guess I quit." And I've never quitted on anything I've done in my life.
Right.
And I walked into the coach's office, and he had a big smile on his face. He's all, "Didn't think you were going to show up."
Amazing.
And the rest is history. You know, I got my AA degree. I started fighting, went to get my bachelor's degree, and went to Cal State Bakersfield, up in Bakersfield, California. And me and the coach didn't see eye to eye one of the seasons, and it came to a kind of a crossroad where either I'm going to stay there and I'm going to whoop this coach's ass for disrespecting me, or I'm going to pack my stuff up and I'm going to go chase his dream of being the next world champion for UFC. And I think it was a humbling experience. I gave my singlet, my warm-ups, sat on his desk and said, "You know what, I'm going to be a bigger man today," and I'm walking away. I go, "If I would stay here, I'd be kicking your ass, but I'm not going to do that."
You told him that?
Yes.
Have you seen him since you became...
I haven't seen him. He passed away probably about 6 years ago, but I talked to him on a phone in an interview on a Wrestling Observer channel,
right.
And he apologized to me.
Right on.
He goes, I didn't know any other way to handle you
yeah.
besides try to disrespect you and break you down, because he would break the kids down all the time. And I was a person to be broken down. I was a person who was very humble and very held my stance against him.
So when people knock you down or you're down on the ground, you lose that fight. While you're there, you're thinking, "You know what? I'm getting up and doing this over again and going to be right." Or you're thinking, "I can't believe I'm down here. I give up."
I get back on that horse.
Oh, you do?
I get back on that horse. I take it as a challenge. I think it's a challenge, not just against my opponent, but a challenge for myself. What type of person am I going to be?
Are you fighting now?
Yes.
You're still fighting? Do you plan to retire one day?
Yeah, I plan on retiring, hopefully by the end of this year.
Oh, really?
Yes, I would like to.
And does that make you nervous that you will? Do you have to retire or you just want to?
I kind of just want to. You know, I'm 45 years old,
yeah.
but I still feel young. I feel good. But once again, it's just I think the decisions that I need to make for my future is very important as the businesses I have.
Does it make you nervous that you will retire? Does it make you feel insecure?
It did, because I did retire in 2012
yeah.
when I separated with Jenna. You know, I got away, and the reason why, because I had to take care of my family, and I had to kind of find myself, and I did. And then I started fighting again with Bellator, and then after Bellator, I fought with Oscar De La Hoya. And then I recently just signed a deal with Combate Americas. It's a two-year deal.
Right on, man.
And I'm doing successful things and continue to do that. You know, I do films. I do movies also.
You do?
Yes. I have
Amazing.
A management company. I have a clothing company. And I just try to be as hardworking an individual as possible.
So are you concerned that in one of your fights, someone may hit those body parts that have been replaced and knock you out?
Nope. Not at all. No, I'm like the $1 million man. In my mind, I am just invincible, and that's I think that takes place a lot right when I walk into the ring, because there is fear prior.
Yeah. So before you walk into the ring, you have fear.
Oh, there's fear every single time.
And what are you afraid of?
Afraid of letting down my family. Afraid of letting down my fans. Afraid of this guy to embarrass me. And, you know, I kind of think of the idea. I watched Mike Tyson I mean, I've been a huge fan of Tyson. I know Mike also, and he talks about the fear he has before he walks into the ring. And as he's walking closer, that fear just starts moving away, and he feels invincible by the time he steps into the ring.
So once you step into the ring, the fear is gone.
You feel like a god. You feel like you're invincible, that no one could touch you, that you're there to conquer this Goliath.
How many fights have you lost?
I've lost 12 fights.
And how many have you won?
I've won 21.
That's amazing.
Yes. I've fought the best of the best through my career. I fought everybody that possibly could have fight in my weight class. There's not one person I haven't fought. Everybody that I've lost to have always been by close decisions, besides Chuck Liddell that I lost to twice in the beginning of my career.
Right.
And I was still a young kid that didn't understand the total mixed martial arts of stand-up striking, which is punch, kick, takedowns. But I've learned a lot. And
there's just one guy that can take you down. You haven't dealt with him yet.
Who's that?
Jesse Peterson. You ever heard of him?
No. Yeah.
He's tough.
Yeah. There's a lot of kids who are tough.
I gotta introduce you to him. He's strong.
Yeah.
He's gonna take you down as a challenge. So.
You think?
I'm gonna set it up for you.
How old are you now?
Me?
Yeah.
70.
70?
Yeah.
Damn, you look good for 70.
See that?
See, we got that blood then, right?
That's right. We ran out of time. I got to ask you about the Great White Hope. I saw in an interview that you support the Great White Hope.
The Great White Hope.
Yes.
So you're talking about the president of our United States.
Yes.
The person that is not a politician.
That's right.
The person who's a true American that cares about this country finally, that is not going to sell our country out to the highest bidder.
That's right.
I support and I know the person. I've worked for him in the Celebrity Apprentice. I know what type of man he is. I know how he raises his children. He has made mistakes through his life, as all of us have. His is just under a microscope.
Yeah.
And once again, he is not a politician.
Right.
He's an American.
That's what makes him so good.
That's what makes him so good. And he says what he's going to do, and he keeps his promise.
So you work for the president?
Yes, I have.
What did you do?
I did the Celebrity Apprentice.
You did?
Yes.
I'm going to have to look at that.
Yeah, I did it for 8 weeks. And let me tell you, I was by his side, and I was asking as many questions as I possibly could about what type of person he was. How come he became a billionaire 3 times? How did he do that? How do you stay a millionaire? I mean, I asked a lot of questions. I was asking as many as possible, and to see how humble and how honest he was, it made me respect him. Then all of a sudden, when he ran for president, that's the first time I ever voted for a president. Was his first election.
So in the little time we have left, what did you learn about him? In asking those questions, what did you realize about him that most people don't realize yet?
That he is a very caring person. He's a person who's a hard worker that is willing to sacrifice everything in his name to make sure his job gets done the right way. He has, that I've learned, that he has two things for the rest of his life, his name and his word.
Yeah.
That's what I have for the rest of my life. It's my name, my word.
I notice he doesn't have fear. No matter what comes at him, he tends to just go and deal with it. On and on and on.
Exactly. And now it's even better where he has the power to do things that need to be done in this country the right way.
Yeah.
And I respect it. And finally, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat.
Right.
I'm a conservative. You know, I believe in doing the right things. You know, people have their choices of what they want to do. But I think at the end of the day, this country, America, that we live in, needs to be respected, needs to be loved. As you talk about God, God bless our country.
Yeah.
God bless our president.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, my children need to have safety here. Our troops need to have safety.
Yeah.
Our country and our people who live here need to respect this country because it is the greatest country in the world.
Are you for the wall going up around the border?
I want that wall to go up on the border as high as possible and deep as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it should be.
Absolutely.
As
the wall going up.
Oh, it's going up. It's continuing to go up. But, you know, at the same time, people question that. Why should there be a wall? Well, in Mexico, they don't want people from Venezuela coming over. They stop them at the border down there.
Yeah.
They do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
In Canada, they do the same thing for Americans to go into Canada.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a DUI, you cannot go to Canada.
Right, I heard that.
Yes.
I didn't know what someone was telling me.
If you have any felonies, if you have any assaults, you cannot go to Canada. United States should be the same way.
How do your friends react to you knowing that you support the Great White Hope?
They actually support them also.
Oh, good.
But they're quiet about it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, a lot of Mexican-Americans who are friends of mine that are very quiet about it. And I'm very verbal on it on my social media. I'm very outspoken. because I love the honesty. I'm not there to sugarcoat anything. You know, I want to make sure that people know where I come from. I'm very transparent, as I say. I want people to look at me going, if he can do it, I know
that's
I can
right.
do it.
Would you say that the president is an honest man?
I say the president is an honest man, yes.
I believe
yes,
that.
I believe that.
And so do the Mexicans know that you're a Mexican?
Yes.
But they, how do they know? They can't really look at you and tell.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you walk out with American and Mexican flag for every one of your fights, I think they get it.
Oh,
I've been going to Mexico since I've been 6 years old. My father used to take us. And then after that, when I graduated high school, I used to go down to Tijuana all the time. Then I'd go down to Cabo and then go to Mexico City. Then when my fight career came about, Mexico City, I would travel to Mazatlan. I'd go all these different places for a vacation. I love Mexico. It's beautiful. We just went to Mexico just this last year.
Right.
And it's a great country, but there is a lot of criminals.
Yeah.
There's a lot of injustice does happen.
I used to go to Cancun, Mexico, but I don't go right now because I'm concerned about going down there.
So you can go a little south of that and Tulum. Is a beautiful, amazing place. It's nice. And I went there, and like I said, I've been going 7 and 6, and it didn't even seem like I was in Mexico. It was so clean, so nice. But I think the president is doing a great job as our president. I think
did you believe he was going to second term around?
Oh, he's going to win by landslide.
Yeah.
People are finally seeing the truth. And the ones that don't want to see the truth are in denial. And those are the ones that don't want to be right. And it's kind of funny because me and Amber, we talk about it, and it's like, I'm like, how come these people can't see the truth?
It's
can't
amazing.
See common sense. She's all, people don't like to be wrong.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Ego.
And I get it. Ego. Ego gets in people's way. And, you know, to be humble, I think a lot of people need to learn this.
Do you have anger?
Do I have anger? No.
You have no anger?
No, not at all.
There's
no anger. I think there's a lot more of confusion of why people do what they do.
Because they can't see due to the anger.
Yeah.
If they overcome the anger, then they can see.
Then they can see, exactly.
Yeah, then they can see. So it's time for me to throw my guests into, we got to heat this interview up. I got to throw my guests into the hot seat. I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Yes, sir.
All right.
The hot seat.
Do real men make boys first?
Yes.
I thought you knew that already. Have you ever worn a black face?
Black face? I mean, like painting my face black? Yeah, I have actually.
Yeah.
I have. Yes, I have.
Is Megan Thee Stallion a horse?
No.
I didn't know what that was.
I don't know.
It's just
is
on
it?
Here.
Yeah.
I asked, what is Megan Thee Stallion a horse?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Would you ever get married?
Yes.
Who is most racist, Beyonce, or Colin Kaepernick?
Colin Kaepernick.
Is it beta to be a vegetarian?
Is it better?
Beta, like a beta male, weak. Beta male.
That's their opinion if they want to do it, if they want to be healthy. I think being a vegan is not the right way to be healthy. Because your bones are going to be very brittle, your muscles are going to be very weak, and we are carnivores.
Beta to be a vegetarian?
Yes.
Is China lying about coronavirus?
No. Are they lying about it? Yes, they're lying about it. There's more deaths than there are being reported, 100%.
Would you survive 100 days on an island by yourself?
Yes.
Will Kanye West become president one day?
No.
Is sex love?
Yes.
Did you have fun?
Amazing time.
Amazing.
Thank you, sir.
Man.
You're welcome.
That was mind-blowing. I knew I was going to enjoy this.
Yes.
Because I saw your honesty in your other interviews. I'm like, yeah, this is the guy to go to. Tell the folks how to get you, whatever you're doing, keep up with you, your website, whatever you want to
yes,
give out.
Yes, of course, on all social media. Instagram is Tito Ortiz 1999. On Twitter is just Tito Ortiz. Facebook is Tito Ortiz. And then I have my fan page, which is Tito Ortiz Official Huntington Beach Bad Boy. I live in Huntington Beach. I'm just trying to be a proud American and taking care of our country and just spreading the truth that our president continues to do.
Did you ever surf while growing up?
I did surf. I surfed sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. I almost drowned my eighth grade year, and I said, this isn't for me, and I started wrestling. So it gets really big in Huntington on some of the sets, and wrestling was my deal. And my true name is Jacob. In the Bible, Jacob wrestled against an angel, and the angel beat him and saved his life.
Amazing.
And then the story behind that, my name is Jacob. I found wrestling, and wrestling saved my life.
Well, Jacob, you need to ask God to let you see himself. He'll show you. Yeah. It'll change your mind.
There's instances that is possible, that does happen.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm responsible for my own actions, I won't have to ask for his forgiveness, because I'm responsible for my actions and I should make the responsibility of making the right decisions. And if I do make the wrong decisions, I shouldn't ask for his forgiveness because I'm the person who made that mistake.
Amazing.
And I should be responsible for my actions.
Thank you all for tuning in. Let me hear from you. Don't forget to like, follow, tweet, buy the merch, and all that good stuff.
Oh, and then actually my YouTube is Tito Ortiz Uncaged. You can go on my Instagram, it's Tito Ortiz 1999, and click the link and subscribe. Click the notification, and it's Tito Ortiz Uncaged. And it's kind of my life story stuff, my training stuff, and how I do outside of home.
Very interesting. Thank you, folks. I appreciate it.
Next time on The Fallen State.
She is a science advice goddess. Goddess!
Some people have childhood experiences where they're just kicked around. And so you develop a sort of position in life and you see that, okay, I've got to behave so I don't get my butt kicked by all these bullies.
So you grew up mostly around black people?
No, I wish. My parents moved to a neighborhood, very, very white, very, very boring. I like being around all sorts of people, but they didn't like us and told me I killed Jesus. Hi, I'm 6.
How do you see men?
All the ways they're different from women. Physical strength, male heroism.
And the book is called The
Ethology, a field guide to living with guts and confidence. Nobody wants to carry a book about self-esteem on the subway.
Right.
So this seemed cooler.
Thanks for watching The Fallen State. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.